I can almost feel the scornful skepticism on the face of the people watching me right now. I feel the same way, friend. I mean, I'm taking applications for Ghostbusters to go up and check this out. Well, hire somebody to go do it. My God, Ellen cried out, what have we done to deserve this? With that, the bedboards fell to the floor. The double bed with Ted and Ellen on top of it collapsed. The pictures that were floating around the room then dropped to the floor, and all activity ceased. I don't think I ought to read this any further, because I don't believe this could happen. This is just too unbelievable. You're going to think I'm nuts. Prentice Hall. Well, I'm telling you, that fellow that wrestled for the body of Moses could move pictures around. By the way, most people don't believe the Bible. They read it, they don't believe it. They just read it through in 52, 62, 72, and 82. They'll still be here reading it in 92. You remember Elisha made the axe head just levitate? Oh, well, that's in the Bible, and everybody knows that what's in the Bible doesn't really happen. Remember the axe head? I'll bet you one of those sons of the prophet was, you know, just cutting away. And that axe head that they needed flew off and flew in the river. I bet he said, damn. I bet he did. Just like our president. Bet he was so mad he was ready to kick some. And along came the prophet. And the axe head came up. By God, Ellen cried out, what have we done to deserve this? With that, the bedboards fell to the floor. The double bed with Ted and Ellen on top of it collapsed. The pictures then dropped to the floor and all activity ceased. Later that night, after cleaning up the mess, the Donovans tried to go to sleep. Boy, the further they go, the more I ask myself, do you know how long it would take me to move? When the lights were turned off, however, they heard the sound of a kitten mewing in the spare bedroom. They didn't have a kitten. Minutes later, the sound transmuted into that of a crying baby. They didn't have a baby. Ted wanted to check out the room, but common sense told him to stay away. The ever-present scratching sounds changed into ripping and tearing noises. Again, the sound of planks being torn off the walls was heard. Indeed, it seemed as though the whole house was being dismantled. Poundings picked up on the roof and the outside of the house, which then transferred themselves to the inside walls. Over the course of an hour, the poundings made their way up the hallway, then ominously stopped. All of a sudden, beg me now. All of a sudden, see how easy I am? All of a sudden, sharp, jarring raps sounded on Ted and Ellen's headboard. Boy, if you want to see a bed turned into a trampoline, you let that happen to me. All of a sudden, sharp, jarring rap sounded on Ted and Ellen's headboard as though the headboard was being hit with a hammer. Ted and Ellen jumped out of the bed, but the noise continued. At one point, Ted counted 18 continuous bangs on the wooden headboard. As fear permeated the house, the activity grew even more powerful and intense. When furniture was heard to fall over in the living room, Ted was about to investigate when a blood-curdling scream came from Patty's bedroom. "Something was here," the girl said in breathless panic. "Something was in this room with me." On April Fool's Day, it rained rocks. I tell you, I'm reading it the sixth time and still don't believe it. Now, this is the one we can check out with the police department. On April Fool's Day, it rained rocks. The rocks descended right out of the blue sky, pelted the Donovan's roof, and rolled off onto the lawn. Terrified, when one of the rocks crashed through the back window, Ellen Donovan telephoned her husband at work. Fatigued from the night before, Ted told her to call the police and said he'd be right home. By the time Ted Donovan got home, the police were on the scene. Also watching the incredible spectacle of stones falling out of the sky onto the Trim Ranch house. The stones fell for about 1 hour, then stopped. Desperate, Ted asked the police what to do. "Call a priest," they suggested. Am I boring you?
No, sir.
Now, I'm not going to continue if you're going to think I'm nuts. I mean, he's a Catholic. I mean, if this were happening in my house, call a priest. My eye. I'd put a call in to the old Holy Father himself. You want me to keep going? This story sounds so far-fetched, but I'm telling you, I've checked out the warnings. These are not freakos. These people are real. Highly respected in the Catholic community. And I'm delighted to start letting the world know my respect for the Catholic community. I do not share the view of the evangelist that says Catholics and Jews are not going to go to heaven. I don't agree with them. David was a Jew, and he made it. Now listen to this. Glendale, my old karate instructor knew the Warrens. They were respectable people, and the city these things happened in was Trumbull, Connecticut. Write that down. Trumbull, Connecticut. Whatever Ghostbuster I hire can start in Trumbull. I'm from Connecticut. You see, my faith in the credibility of these people and checking them out makes me take this story at face value. Everything in my nature, because you're listening to the world's greatest natural-born skeptic. I lost my faith because I couldn't buy all the miracles. And I came back to faith from a study of the resurrection, the miracle of the miracles. And my faith is now based upon that fundamental fact of the supernatural. You're more consistent to believe in miracles if you believe in the resurrection of Christ than to not believe in them. Now it's too hot, Mike. I can't figure out what to do with this place. You need a big monitor about 4 feet wide with millimeters to set it. Now, make it dark in here now. I'm going to keep reading. On April Fool's Day, it rained rocks. You hear what I just said? These people knew the Donovans. It's Trumbull, Connecticut. I'll write that down. Trumbull. Connecticut. On April Fool's Day, it rained rocks. They called the cops. The time Ted got home, the police were on the scene also watching the incredible spectacle of stones falling out of the sky onto the Trim Ranch house. The stones fell for about 1 hour. Now, I didn't have time to read things. Did we get any calls from Texas? Did we get any calls from New York? Did we? Good. Did we get any calls from Los Angeles? San Francisco? Area, I mean. The stones fell for about an hour and all, then stopped. Desperate, Ted asked the police what to do. Call a priest, they suggested. How could a priest help, Ted wondered. Like all good church people, they seldom believe. How could a priest help, Ted wondered. There was nothing religious about their predicament. Ted Donovan stayed home the rest of the day. That night, when the sun went down, furniture and objects in the house began levitating in the air in full view of everyone. Some of the items dropped to the floor while others were slammed up against the walls. This terrible, insidious activity went on all night long. The best the Donovans could do was stay out of the way because some of the objects seemed to be thrown directly at them. The next morning, with the house in shambles, Ted was exasperated enough to take the policeman's suggestion. Being Roman Catholic, he telephoned the rectory of the local Catholic church and spoke with the priest who was on duty. Furniture in the house was levitating, Ted explained. Expensive objects were being thrown down and broken. Poundings and scratchings and other frightful noises went on all night. Stones had even fallen on the house. Now, I have somebody on the phone. Are you having to comfort somebody that's afraid to listen to me? Isn't there a phone off the hook over there? Hey, Gloria, are you having to comfort somebody that's afraid to listen to me? Huh? I can't hear you. My Lord, if he's talking about sending some money, you just talk all night. I just want to make sure that nobody needs to be comforted over there. Anybody else? Now make sure that he's sending money because I've taught him and not because I've scared it out of him. Don't anybody send money to keep these things out of your house. That won't work. Being Roman Catholic, he telephoned the rectory of the local Catholic church and spoke with the priest who was on duty. The voice of faith for the day. Hello. Whaley gets this speech. Furniture in the house was levitating, Ted explained. Expensive objects were being thrown down and broken. Poundings and scratchings and other frightful noises went on all night. Stones had even fallen on the house. Now, imagine yourself getting a call like that. Out of the blue. The priest took Donovan's address and promised to be there within an hour. The disturbance came to an abrupt halt when the priest arrived. But Ted escorted him around the house nonetheless. Stepping over the breakage and overturned furniture, the priest's only assessment was that someone in the house was disturbed, and Ted better call a psychiatrist. The clergyman then left, whereupon the poundings and levitation started up anew. Tormented and confused, Ted went into work late that day. Fully exasperated, he decided to go ahead and confide in the one man he trusted and respected, his supervisor. In a glass enclosed cubicle, Ted explained why there were so many absences on his previously excellent attendance record. I'm reading The Demonologist by Gerald Brittle. You've been empty in all libraries, that I happen to know. I've been getting calls of people trying to check it out of libraries. Prentice Hall, Inc., Englewood Cliffs, New Jersey. Why don't we get some for my bookstore? Just as a service. In a glass enclosed cubicle, Ted explained why he'd been absent. For the better part of an hour, Ted disclosed the whole bizarre story to his boss. The supervisor believed Ted and wanted to help. But he had no idea how he could be of assistance. He did, however, recall the name of some people whom he had heard speaking on the radio. Their name is Warren, I believe, he said. I remember them saying that sometimes only a blessed object placed in a home will stop weird goings on. I don't know how to get hold of these people, but I do think that they're your best bet. The conversation did much to bolster Ted Donovan. That evening, he went down to the basement and unpacked an 18-inch plaster statue of St. Anne. Unpacked. That Ted hoped would solve the problem. However, no sooner did Ted bring it upstairs than he heard a tremendous commotion downstairs. When he ran down to investigate, he found the recreation room furniture floating through the air. It's just too unbelievable to read. Let's go on. To the left, soaps and detergents in the laundry room were also levitating, spilling their contents on the floor. The irrationality of the whole thing overwhelmed Ted. He trudged back upstairs to find the statue missing. Later, he found it in the bathroom beside the toilet. And the moral of that story is demons have a sense of humor. That night, along with all the other intolerable phenomena, shrieks and hellish noises filled the Donovan house. How many would have already moved? Start out with little demons. It's just too much in one wad. After a search the next morning, the statue of St. Anne was discovered under the covers of the bed in the spare bedroom. Boy, I'm telling you, these demons are having a real affair with her. Before uncovering the statue, however, Ted found obscenities written in pencil on Brian's bedroom door. Believing Brian might somehow be behind it all, Ted flew into a rage and laid into the teenage boy. But Brian just collapsed into despair and began crying from the bottom of his heart. The boy had done nothing wrong. Ted apologized to his son. Though perplexed, Ted Donovan was slowly becoming aware that for some unexplained reason, his whole family had fallen victim to the same thing, whatever it was. And all his 19-year-old daughter had done is ask a Ouija board to talk to her. Innocuous little Ouija board. And after a while, ask the spirit to manifest himself. Let me tell you something. God's in control. That's the other message I preach. There are boundaries on demon forces. This one was ask. I'll pick that up later. As the first week of April wore on, sleep was impossible. Fed up, Ted decided to move his family out of the house until some solution could be found. About time. Maybe they were just imagining it all, Ted thought, and perhaps by staying away, the spell would be broken. Taking toilet articles and a change of clean clothing, the Donovans went to a nearby motel. That night at the motel, the Donovans all slept in the same room for safety. However, they soon learned there was no escape from their troubles. Lights switched themselves on and off, pictures left the wall, and once more the pounding started up. Now, write down whomever my Ghostbuster is, I wanted to find that motel. This was 1974. I mean, some maid had to clean it up the next day. I mean, I researched the resurrection like this. I spent 3 years. The next morning, when the Donovans came back to their room after breakfast, everything was topsy-turvy. Furniture was tipped over, drawers were pulled out, sheets and clothes, mattresses and box springs were thrown around the room. As they set about straightening up, the manager appeared to say that other guests had complained about the Donovan children banging on the walls all night, and the maid had pointed out the ridiculous vandalism to the room. Well, we're not going to get anywhere with this motel, except I'd like to trace the incident, because Ted Donovan took the blame for everything, apologized, and assured the manager it wouldn't happen again. But that night it did. The next day, the Donovans had no choice but to return home. Saturday, April 6th. Now, that was April 5th, I guess, when they were in the motel. Write that down. You might be selected as a Ghostbuster. Saturday, April 6th, when Ted opened the front door, the mixture of smells was unbelievable. Rugs and beds were saturated with spilled food, cleaning fluids, liquor, shoe polish, cologne, and perfume. Towels were stuffed in the toilets. Furniture in every room was knocked over, some of it broken, and across the walls were scribbled truly demented blasphemies in blood-red ink and obscene accusations against God and Christ. It took the Donovans the rest of the day to clean the walls and put the house back in order. I'm reading The Demonologist by Gerald Brittle. Good old Catholic. Ghostbusters. In particularly violent cases, the Warrens have investigated the most outstanding feature of oppression strategy. This is important for you to remember. In particularly violent cases, and the Warrens have done this for years, in particularly violent cases, the Warrens have investigated the most outstanding feature of oppression strategy is this kind of systematic destruction. Too cold now, Mike. The aftermath of these invisible vandals' onslaught is enough to leave an observer dumbstruck, struck with amazement. It truly looks as though a platoon of morons has marched through the house. Wreckage is everywhere. Foul writings scrawled on the walls. Cherished items and religious objects singled out for particular besmirchment and ruin. In terms of dollars and cents, it can be very costly to play host to the demonic. Yet why the destruction? Why should these incorporeal entities care about destroying material items? These spirits, says Ed, are the essence of cruelty. If you spend half your life trying to assemble a nice home for your family, it's very distressing to stand by and watch $5,000 worth of furniture get trashed in 5 minutes. Usually, many spirits will be responsible for a rampage, and they'll ruin whatever's worthwhile to you. You can't do anything about it. Ed says, if you try, you'll either be held back, incapacitated by some invisible force, or you're liable to get hit over the head with something. Ed says. Now, I think that quote's probably out of context, because he did something about it when the black mass came into his office. Many times, what he's really saying is a person that doesn't understand anything about these demon forces and doesn't know how to deal with them is this helpless against the onslaught. That's why Paul said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And I have a feeling people are going to tune in right now, and I'm going to get written off as a nut. The Bible's full of invisible forces like this. No. My business is to look at life in general and see if the truth of God bears out. That's why I hate to see people have closed minds. God can stand the test. He proves right every time. Let's keep going. Many times, as in the Donovan case, people aren't even home when the destruction occurs. They just walk in, find everything they own wrecked, destroyed, or broken. It's so inconceivable that a non-physical being could cause such damage that people's first response is to pick up the phone, call the police, believing their home was ransacked by burglars. Nevertheless, the net effect of the destruction is psychological. The spirit is attempting to penetrate the individual's will. Don't forget, Ed goes on, that the external phenomena is used just as a diversion. While breaking furniture, the spirit devotes just as much energy to breaking a person down internally. To keep your emotions under control during oppression, you'd have to have the patience of a saint, whether the disturbance leaves you scared, depressed, angered, or whatever. You can't help but become upset emotionally. That's human. Although it's quite all right to be emotional as a result of the situation, it's something else again to fully lose control, because ultimately that's what the demonic is trying to make you do. I've dealt with people when demonic forces are coming on them. It's as though they've, you know, topped a rise in a hill in a sled, and suddenly they're going. If you can get them to recognize the forces at work on them. But let's keep going. On April 7th, Palm Sunday, Ted's brother Phil was bringing his family over for dinner. Palm Sunday. Am I boring you?
No, sir.
Nobody joining us at 12, are they? No, we don't have to be interrupted now. Unlike Ted, Phil was a professional man. Yet both brothers were hardworking men who had helped. You want me to skip along or you want me to read this? You know, I'm going to find this in most libraries. It's already checked out. Unlike Ted, Phil was a professional man. Yet both brothers were hardworking men who had helped each other all through life. Perhaps now. After dinner, both families adjourned to the recreation room. Phil had brought slides of his family's recent vacation, including slides of the Holy Land. When a slide depicting crosses and statues and shrines came up, Patty leaped to her feet and pointed. Incredibly! Unlike Ted, Phil was a professional man, yet both brothers were hardworking men who helped each other all through life. Perhaps now Ellen thought they might be able to solve this problem together. She and Ted explained to Phil the terrible ordeal they'd been through. However, no unusual activity occurred that Sunday as the Donovan clan sat down to dinner. Phil Donovan's only response was to say there had to be a rational explanation for the whole thing. That's the brother. He hadn't been there. After dinner, both families adjourned to the recreation room. Phil had brought slides of his family's recent vacation, including shots of the Holy Land. When a slide depicting crosses and statues and shrines came up, Patty leaped to her feet and pointed. Incredibly, water was flowing out of the wall in the basement. Suddenly the lights went off and on by themselves. A moment later, the pounding started upstairs. Well, there's got to be a rational explanation, Phil said. Together, Phil and Ted ran up to the first floor to find out where the pounding was coming from. But each time they drew close, the noise would simply take up in another part of the house. There's got to be a rational explanation. Of course there is. Then up on the roof, it sounded like carpenters were on top of the house swinging hammers with all their might. The whole house vibrated.
This is the end of side three. For the rest of the teaching, please turn the tape over for side four. Thank you.